says, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And I love this little verse, and I love the principle it teaches. I want to talk to you tonight about the meeting of the minds. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we pray that you please bless the study of this one little verse. But God, oftentimes the littlest and smallest verses or thoughts or principles in the Bible carry with it such a great, important reminder for us. And really, that's what this one is all about. I pray that you give me wisdom. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to be obedient to you. And for that, I need your Spirit. Lord, for that, I need your help even. And so, Lord, I ask that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that you would please cleanse me, Lord, from my sin, that I may be filled with your Spirit so that I could please you. Lord, in light of that, I believe if I'd be honoring to you, then it would be a help to these people. And so please help me tonight. I pray that you'd meet every one of our needs in this building. I pray that no one would leave here with a care not laid down. I pray that no one would leave here with a burden bearing it. Lord, as the song has said, we carry far too much weight because we don't spend enough time in prayer. And so I pray that we would leave here tonight free and clear of those weights that do so easily beset us, and that you would be glorified. Bless these again that are here tonight, I beg you, in Jesus' name, amen. I can appreciate Solomon's wisdom here bestowed upon his son. And you've got to remember now, again, we've been doing this for a really long time, going through this book verse by verse, but as this dad writes to his son and wants to help him and prepare him for his heirship, if you will, his kingdom that he's going to inherit from Solomon, and all the riches, then you find a tremendous principle that, again, is reiterated in probably a very subtle way, in that he's trying to help his son, once he ascends the throne, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Because Solomon knows the destructive principles and the contentious principles of pride. He's already instructed him, son, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now he's trying to give him some instruction, and he's trying to say, hey, listen, it doesn't matter whether an individual is rich or whether he is poor, and he gives a tremendous statement here. It says, the Lord, that is Jehovah, is the maker of them all. And so when we look at this text, it's one that goes against the tendency of our fallen nature. That is that poor people and rich people are categorized and stereotyped based on carnal criteria, resulting in a favorable or unfavorable classification or association in society. Now, if the Bible tells us that we must have the mind of Christ, then it is up to us as believers to search the Scriptures to know what is that mind of Christ, and then also as wise believers to employ that mind of Christ. And when our minds encounter the mind of God, then we have to decide whose opinion matters most. We have to decide, okay, if our minds are going to come together, that we have to subject ourselves to this principle that his ways are far higher than our ways. And by the way, because of that, they're always much better. Amen. They're always better. And so when we adopt the mind of God, then concerning people, we are helped and then used for the glory of God. Now, our text reminds us that God is no respecter of persons, and that the ground is level not only in the grave, by the way, because all men are going to die, but also it's level at the cross. This verse helps us to understand that the rich and the poor meet together, and I believe the Bible teaches us that there are at least three significant places where those meetings take place. Now, just to remind us where we're going here, let's go back and look at Proverbs 22 and verse 2. The Bible says, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Now, where is it that they meet? Well, the first place they meet is the place of God's purpose. The place of God's purpose. Among the children of men, we understand that divine providence so orders that some people are rich, and at the same order, some are poor. And these, then, are intermixed in societies all over the world. The Lord is the maker of them all, the Bible says. He is both the author of their being and the disposer of their lot in life. So, even the greatest men in the world, then, must acknowledge God to be his maker. If not in this life, he will in the next. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords to the glory of God. All right? Now, The Bible tells us this in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, if you care to read that later. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Again, in Job 31 and verse 5, did not he that made me in the womb make him? And it doesn't matter who the him is. It doesn't matter who the her is. God has formed every one of us in the belly of our mommy's womb. And did not he, the Bible goes on, and did not one fashion us in the womb? And so God says, hey, listen, I want you to remember that in a creatorial way, God is the father of all mankind. And we'll see that. First of all, we understand that that they meet in the place of God's purpose for two reasons. Number one, for personal growth. For personal growth. Now think about this for a minute. If God makes some poor and he makes some rich, there has to be a divine purpose behind it. How many believe that nothing happens by accident? Okay? That means that God is the sovereign ruler and the governor of the affairs of mankind and knows what is best and what is not best in the life. So if we believe, according to the Bible, as we've already looked, that God is the maker of all of mankind and is made, as according to the book of Acts, all nations, the blood of one man after Adam, then we know that God is also then the disposer of the lots, that is, the life of that individual. So he makes some poor, but why? Well, we could understand that he makes some people poor to exercise their patience. To say, hey, I know this is what I want now, but apparently I can't have it. Now, we live in a society that bucks that, don't we? They created several years ago a thing called a credit card. And those things seem to curb our appetite for patience, does it not? It just says, hey, well, why wait? And watch this. First of all, it was, why wait for money? Then it was, why wait for marriage? And then it translates into the church and says, why should we have to wait for anything? I'm not waiting on God. And yet the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. No wonder we have so many Christians running around with such weak faith and with such great fear. It's because they don't know how to wait. God says, I've made some poor to exercise their patience. Perhaps he's made some of us poor to exercise our contentment. Paul have said, hey, look, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It's an education that sometimes takes a lifetime. How many would agree with that? I have to learn to be content. And then some he makes poor just to show that they need to be dependent upon God. You know, I said on Sunday night, the hardest thing to be in the world is blessed. Don't forget that. The hardest thing in the world to be is blessed. Why? Because all of a sudden you start to think, well, I really don't have any needs. I prayed for that, I got it. 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 All the bills are paid. In fact, I got more money going into savings than I ever had before. I'm all healthy. I have nothing to worry about. And now I'm not dependent upon God. We said on Sunday night that grace is a daily commodity. And we said that there's a tremendous supply of grace. But if we don't understand our daily need, we said that God will create the demand. He will make us to the point, and perhaps that's why some are allowed to be poor to exercise their dependence on God. Others he allows to be rich to exercise their gratefulness, their thanksgiving, their faithfulness, that they would be able to take what they have and steward it rightly, that they would be a blessing to those in need. We'll see that in a minute. So God says, hey, listen, I want you to know the way that this works is I create everybody. And the place where from the rich all the way to the poor. And by the way, the intimation is that everybody in between meets at the same places. Okay? So it doesn't matter along the spectrum where you may lie fiscally. God says, I want you to know that they all meet at the same preordained and sovereign places. And the first one is the place of my purpose. Secondly, within that purpose, some he makes poor, some he makes rich for the benefit of others. God makes some rich that they will be charitable, that they be able to give. Watch this. Do you remember how Boaz was charitable? Boaz was loaded. He had Monet. He loved Monet. And I'm not talking about art. He loved money. Not for the root of blood, but he had it. In fact, Boaz ended up being so gracious with what he had that God blessed him over and above, and he was able to minister to a young lady who had become David's grandmama. I'm just simply saying, You never know why someone is disposed to having some money and someone else is disposed not to having money, or why this person gets blessed that way or that person is blessed that way, or the lack of blessing seems to be. The fact is, God says, I'm exercising my infinite wisdom, and I'm going to exercise my right to give to you exactly what you need and not need according to my glory. So he gives to some people riches that they may be charitable to the poor. Others he makes poor that they may be serviceable to the rich. I think of the parable where the one landowner goes out, and in the morning there's a few people out there, and he hires them, and he goes back at the noon hour and he hires them, and he goes back in another hour to hire them. Why? Why were they there? Because they needed money. And this individual settled at the very beginning of the day, at noonday, and at the end of the day, how much he was going to pay. And the ones at the very beginning thought that they would get more, got the same, and they had a problem with it. Why? Because they didn't understand this principle. But they were all in need. And God says, hey, I want you to see that they both benefit, that they may be serviceable to the rich and have need of one another. 1 Corinthians 12:21 sets it, of course, in the church setting, but watch this as the principle. And the eye cannot say to the hand, in other words, one that seems to be more profitable than the other, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Everybody needs everybody in the economy of God. God set it up that way. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, speaking to the rich, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Watch, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God says, look, I've got this under control. And Solomon, if I could put it practically, is saying to his son, listen, don't think that because somebody is going to come in here with money that they deserve more of your attention than the person that comes in without. And don't think because you have money, Rehoboam, that you are any better or worse than the person that comes in without, or the person that lives next to the kingdom without. The fact of the matter is, God is the one that's maker of us all. And don't forget that. What a great point to remember. So God says the first place that they meet is the place of God's purpose. Secondly, the place that the poor and the rich meet together is the bar of God's justice. The bar of God's justice. Now, on this earth, there might be much distance between the rich and the poor locationally, vocationally, and socially. Yet in most things, they meet together, especially before the Lord, who according to the Bible is the maker of them all and regards not the rich more than the poor. Job 34 and verse 19, how much less to him that accepteth not the person of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they all are the work of his hands. Now, Job's such a great stage there. And he said, now, I want you to understand this principle. On this earth, they are living out God's purpose the way God intends it. And God could change that in any time that he wishes. Okay? But know this, that regardless of their lot on this earth, that they will be equal before my throne in heaven. We see that they meet at the bar of God's justice in three ways. First of all are guilty before God. They're all guilty before God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world they become guilty before God. In a very simple statement, in just a few words, less than nine words, God says, I just want you to know, everybody in the world is guilty before God because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, he's concluded all under sin. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So riches profit not in the day of death. The Bible says that. A rich man is harder to get to heaven, but he holds the same status as Lazarus at the bar of God's justice. The rich man was just as sinful as Lazarus was sinful. And God was not going to be a preferer or a respecter of somebody that just has a kingdom or somebody that has more money. That's not how you get into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. By the way, you can't just be a martyr and get into heaven. Some people think that because they have not, it's not necessarily because they're not asking, because, well, this is my lot in life, and that makes me more spiritual because I don't have all the money that you have, and that's not the way to look at it either. So, God says, they're all guilty before me, They're all concluded under sin because they were all shaped in iniquity. Later, see, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The Bible says not one. Every one of us, according to Psalm 51, was shapen by our God in the womb of our mom in iniquity, according to David's own prayer. Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Those of us with children could say amen. We know that's the case. And God says, hey, look, it doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter about clothes. It doesn't matter about the job. It doesn't matter who's the boss and who's the servant. What matters is I am in control, and the day they stand before me, nothing matters except me and my work. You're going to be meeting at the place of bar, at the bar of God's justice. Thirdly, then, and this is a really good one. Thirdly, they also meet then at the throne of God's grace. The throne of God's grace. Now, we may look on the outward appearance because we are of our father Adam's fallen blood. And we may look, unfortunately, at different things and categorize people, and we may feel more comfortable around these people or less comfortable around those, and we may go through society picking and choosing and, for lack of a better term, being more of a respecter of persons based on perhaps their favorability to us or perhaps their feelings to us or perhaps what they could do for us or whatever, and that's all sinful. But it doesn't change the fact that we all look on the outward appearance. We all notice dress. We all probably, many times, too often, know where they bought that. We know how much that car cost. We know where that suit of clothes was. We know where the shoes were bought. We know that purse. We know whatever. God says, that doesn't mean anything to me. So it shouldn't mean anything to you. Because I'm the one that picks and chooses. I could stop any of that. I'm allowing it. But they're all going to meet me at my throne. And based on what they know about me and who I am is going to determine the other places that they meet. Should they meet at the throne of God's grace? Well, because there is no regard or respect of persons in this life from God or in the grave, the ground then is level at the cross. A holy God can show unconditional love to all sinners because he offers everyone the same grace. It doesn't change. It doesn't take any more grace to save a rich man than it does a poor man. Did you hear what I said? It takes no more grace to save somebody that lives on the east side or the west side of Chicago or Detroit. It doesn't take any more grace to save someone in Maine than it does in San Diego, California. It's the same grace. Why? Because it's the same sin. It's all the same. God says, hey, don't worry about that outward junk. I'm the one that's allowing or not allowing. So know this, that they're all the same on the inside and they all need to be saved the same way. So I'm going to make it that easy for everybody, at least on my end. At his throne, the poor and the rich are welcome. That's why they need to be welcome at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your social status is. Look, the most important thing to this ministry is not your routing number. It's your heart. That's the most important thing. And God says, because of that, they have the right to come to my throne. Letter A, they'll get the same Christ because that's the same thing that they need. They meet and they are welcome to receive the same Christ. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the rich. It's not what it says. The sin of the Romans. Oh, they would have loved to jump on that one. Yeah, God, it's the Romans. No, the sin of the Jews. No, the sin of the world. They all need the same Christ, so they all get the same Christ. Secondly, if they get saved, they all get the same scriptures. There's not a set of the scriptures for those that have a big bank account and those that are living on food stamps. Friend, it's the same promises of God. The same Bible. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The same Bible. It's the same scriptures. Thirdly, it's the same faith. It requires the same faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. The same faith. It's a childlike faith. The Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. And here's the context. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the same faith. There's one faith, by the way. And that means because it's the same faith, letter D, it's the same Spirit. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now look, for a bigot, for a racist, for someone that's prejudiced, that just doesn't sit very well. That's why James, in his own practical and in-your-face way, says, look, if there comes into your congregation one that has on, the Bible uses the word gay apparel. That word has been taken over and held hostage, okay? It just means light apparel and happy apparel, apparel that displays something, all right? But if there comes into your congregation one with gay apparel and you are a respecter of him, whoa, that's not good. You shouldn't, just because a guy comes in who's got some more money than the average Joe, put him in a better seat. Oh, you know what? You need to sit right down here because the offering plate's going to come to you first. No. Mm-mm. That's not the way it works. Not in God's economy. Not if you want God's blessing anyway. God says, no. There is one faith. There is one Spirit. There is no difference. We both have access by one Spirit. By the way, it's the Holy Spirit. Someone that either has or has not doesn't get a different spirit. They get the Holy Spirit, or they're none of his. It's the Holy Spirit of God. There's no preference with God. You get a little more of the Spirit. Nah. You get a little more grace, a little more faith. No. That's not how it works. The ground's level right here at the cross. It's all the same. It's the same Spirit, letter E. It's the same promises. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Letter F, that means they all have the same hope. Watch this. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, how can I have eternal life? Now, Jesus didn't say, I'm so glad you finally came to your senses and asked that question. In fact, he had a little, I can't think of the word right now. Riddle. It was almost like he gave a little riddle and said, why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God. So he was testing him to see if he knew that he was the Messiah. And so he says, well, and he lists he lists five of the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, no problems. I got this handled. Since I was a young guy, I've had this handled. And Jesus said, well, not quite, Tarzan. You're missing a little bit. What I want you to do is I want you to go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. In that guy's mind, he was somebody because he was rich. And the guy, the Bible says, went away sorrow because he had much riches. Jesus turned around and he scares his disciples half to death. And Peter was scared the most because he had money. Now look, not everybody that followed Christ had money. Certainly, there's no indication that they had it while they were following Jesus, because the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. When they went, they were told not to take scrip. They were told not to take anything. I'll provide for you. You go and do my bidding. So all of a sudden, Jesus said, hey, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, a sunken place in a city where the camels who are laden have to get on their knees and squash through to prevent the attacks of other armies. It was easier for a camel to go through with the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Peter was like, ah! But who can be saved? He's thinking for of himself again, like Peter, like us. Ah! Ah! Who can be saved? Who can be saved? I just see Peter's eyes going, He's looking over at James and John going, we're done. Jesus looks at him and says, don't worry, I got this. Now that's in the Ebonics Bible. In the Message. He goes, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know why? Because God has made provision for every single instance. He has said, I will meet you wherever you are. Why? Because we're all equal right here. We all need Jesus. The blood that dropped there cries out of mercy for every sinner ever born, and we are all such. The same hope. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Aren't you thankful for hope tonight in Jesus Christ? Letter G, whatever that is, 6. Same promise, same hope, same heaven. You're not going to get to heaven and have a better address because you had a higher income ratio here at this house. It's not going to happen. I have no reason to believe that Lazarus, the poor man whose dog licked his own sores, is going to live in any less of a mansion than I am or that you are. In my Father's house are many mansions. And guess what? They're all equal because we're not going to be there based on us. We're going to be there based on Jesus. Same heaven. Which, and this is more the applicable side, letter H, means that both the rich and the poor and everybody in between that dash have all the same potential. That is, you're either going to be rich or you're going to be poor for the glory of God or not. Look at your notes of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Someone said, it's not then circumstances that make up a life, but what you do with them that make a life. We just read last week, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And the next verse says, now, based on that, I want you to know the rich and the poor are the same. They meet together because the Lord is the maker of them all. So if you're going to pursue something, pursue a life that gives glory and honor to God. God then is an equal opportunity savior. All have sinned. All can be saved. All can serve. All for his glory. James chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you respect to persons, if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. See, when our minds finally meet, the responsibility is to accept and take on the mind of God. And by the way, I'm so thankful that he's given us his mind concerning this life. And we learn a tremendous lesson. Hey, look, it doesn't matter who we are in this life. What matters is who we are in Christ. And know that everybody has the same opportunity of grace. We all have the same opportunity to glorify God with what we have. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the word of God tonight. We pray that you'd please refresh us in your spirit as we think about what's been said. Lord, we're so blessed. We are so blessed. Lord, you daily load us with benefits. But God, just being in here, being able to have a Bible, being able to have all of these verses and to have all of the promises of God, Lord, there's never been a dispensation that had more blessings than the one that we live in. For that, we're humbled. No other people ever in the history of this world have ever been blessed like we are, especially as Americans, but as Christians. Lord, which leads me to believe there should be more glory given to our God. There should be more service done than ever before. There should be more souls saved than ever before. Because we have everything that we need for this life and how to be godly. Will you please speak to our hearts tonight? Please help us not to be a respecter of persons. Please help us to live according to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray.